Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting to you live from gorgeous Anchorage, Alaska, where tiny little snowflakes are beginning to fall. Wherever you are, I hope you're warm and cozy because it is that time of the year where the seasons are changing big time. But we're going to be talking about a subject today that can affect any of us at any time. What is that? Identity theft. This is a person's worst nightmare, and we have a wonderful guest today, Mari Frank, and she has extensive background in assisting people with this kind of a condition, and the book that she was very much involved with putting together is Recovering from Identity Theft, how you can take back your identity and restore your good name. Mari, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Donna.
This is a topic that just absolutely is so very important today. We have so many situations where people are finding their bank accounts are compromised. That happened to me earlier this summer, and that was quite a shock. And there are other people that have their total identities taken over. And the book opens up with chapter one saying you think you're a victim, and you talk about someone maybe being stopped for speeding, finding out that they're going to get arrested because there's a warrant for a crime they've never committed, or getting letters from lawyers demanding you make good on work you just didn't do. These are awful situations, Mari. What is it that, I mean, this is something, is it going to get worse before it gets better, or is it ever going to get better?
Well, let me tell you, it's gotten worse in recent years because we have so much information that is so valuable, and we have the internet, so that information can be transferred in a nanosecond, and there's so much that is not face-to-face, so that someone can steal money from your account and be in Russia, or someone could steal and get credit in your name and be in another state that you don't live in. So it can happen to anyone. We have different types of identity theft, whether you were talking about you had your bank account compromised. Was it checks or was it debit card?
Neither one. They put in electronically that this was an automatic bill pay.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to take out over $1,000. And this is something apparently the banks are having such a challenge with, Mari, that they look for red flags. And I did not have an automatic withdrawal for bill pay. And so they contacted me immediately, and they traced it. Now, I don't know if they were able to apprehend the person, but this was something that was done on a Monday, and that was then just an hour after they tried to do this, something happened. And I said, what in the world? How in the world did they get it? And,
right.
You know, you go through these things. And I've known a number of people that have said, oh, let me tell you my story.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the thing. And I don't know if you'll ever find out from your bank, but sometimes it's a dirty insider at a bank. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
that happens a lot. It could be someone at the bank who's actually sold information about you. I have a radio show too. I interviewed an identity thief who used to go in and pay the managers of the banks.
Oh, my
information.
Goodness.
Yeah, he'd pay $10,000 for someone who had maybe a credit score of 800 and then get all sorts of information and get their bank account numbers. And that's how they made some money under the table. And it's horrible. The fact is that so much of your sensitive information is in the hands of people that they can use it without your permission. So when you're talking about these electronic funds transfers, thank goodness your bank had this neural network that they called you. But a lot of times they don't. So One of the things I tell people to do is you're actually safer using online banking than you are even sending your checks through the mail, as long as you check your account at least 2 to 3 times a week and see what's happening so that you can stop something if you see something weird that's happening with your checking account or your savings account, and set up alerts. I have an alert with my bank where anytime there is an electronic transfer of any kind, whether it's a bill pay or anything else, they send me an email. Mm-hmm. And I look at it, and if I don't recognize it, I can call right away. So any change that happens, I immediately get an alert. And that's free, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
With your bank. Most banks have it, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all the big banks, Chase, they all have these alerts. You go online and you set these up, and they will email you.
Terrific. Now, for those of you listening, I want you to know a little bit about Mari. She's an attorney and a certified privacy expert, and she has been called to testify more than once on privacy issues before the California legislature and U.S. Congress. And in 1999, I mean, we were seeing the beginning of this tsunami that seems to be ongoing with identity theft. She was summoned to the White House press conference featured on C-SPAN, where she gave a talk about consumer privacy with President Clinton. She's been involved in publishing a number of books regarding identity theft. She's a consultant for corporations and agencies. She's also an advisory board member of the California Office of Privacy Protection, the Identity Theft Resource Center, the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, and she serves as a privacy fellow with the Hahnemann Institute and is a sheriff reserve. So she's talked on programs all over the country, and I feel so pleased that we're able to speak today. And as she said, she has her own show on KUCI 88.9 FM, and she also teaches at the University of California. Now, Mari, you have just given some information that would literally make someone's mental toes curl with horror at the fact that there might be these identity thefts that are occurring because someone is paying off somebody inside the banking system. You have made the comment about how easy it is for identity theft to occur. When this happens, this is the nightmare from hell, because we are in this electronic age. There is all of this identity that, like you said, is out there, which should never have been out there, but it is, and that's been going on for a long time. You yourself were a victim, were you not?
Back in 1996, I got a phone call from a bank I had never heard of, the Bank of New York, and they subsequently became Chase. But at the time, they called me and said, "Why haven't you paid your $10,000 bill?" And I said, "Who are you?" I thought it was a phony phone call, and I live in California, and I thought, "What are you talking about? Why would I have you as a bank?" And they said, "Well, you've had an account with us, you know, for 10 months, and you haven't paid on it." And I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And then I found out that my evil twin, who had lived 4 hours away from my home, was not only taking my financial identity and buying a car and getting all sorts of credit cards in my name, but she also stole my professional identity and was parading as an attorney and giving out business cards with my name on it.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, and so I was afraid I was going to be disbarred from the State Bar of California, and it was a real nightmare. And at that time, believe it or not, there was no law making identity theft a crime against the consumer in any state, including Alaska and California, and there was no federal law making it a crime against the consumer. It was only like, you know, fraud against a bank. So I have to tell you, most people couldn't even get a police report. But because I was an attorney, I went crazy and said, "Wait a minute, you have to give me a police report or I can't clean up this mess." And so I ended up, by necessity, becoming an expert, testifying, writing legislation at the state and federal level, testifying in Congress, and really being, you know, I guess I was chosen by the universe or God or whatever to make some changes, because after that, it just became an explosion. And you know something, Donna? Last year there were 11.2 million new victims of identity theft. That's a lot. And there's been a steady increase of about 10 million people a year. And I'm not just talking about credit card fraud where you look at your statement and you see some mistakes on there or you see fraud on there. That's easy. You call up your credit card company and you're covered by the Fair Credit Billing Act. You're never going to have to pay a penny as long as you tell them within 60 days, and you should be able to look at your statement and see that there's fraud. And you tell your company you don't have to pay. And they'll cancel the card and they'll give you a brand new card and that's it. That's bad enough. But what about this? What about when someone creates new loans, student loans in your name, gets a mortgage, gets a house on the other side of the country in your name? What about when they get medical care in your name and then suddenly you're in an accident and there's medical records, these electronic records say you have a different, let's say, a different blood type? This could kill you, right? Or what about when you get stopped for speeding? I have a guy, I just got off the phone. I have this poor guy, young man, whose identity is mixed up with someone who has 5 warrants against him for his arrest.
Oh, my goodness. 5 warrants?
5 warrants. And this kid is a young man from Wyoming, moved to California, got a job, and then tried to get an apartment, and they found out that they wouldn't give him an apartment. You know, and finally, you know, he was able to get an apartment, but this is not him. And then I have, another guy who found out that he couldn't get utilities, another young man couldn't get utilities. I'm helping him today, too, and his Social Security number is being used by 3 other people with Hispanic names. And so when he tried to get utilities, they said, well, we're sorry, this isn't your Social Security number. Your Social Security number belongs to a woman or belongs to these 2 other Hispanic people. And so he is having problems. So this comes up so insidiously, whether it's criminal identity theft or someone is using your identity to work. I had a woman who called me last year who said, Mari, the IRS is after me for someone who used my identity to work. She goes, I'm disabled, I can't even work. And someone has been using my Social Security number to work for 15 years, and the IRS has caught up to me, and they want over $10,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. And then, of course, we know that the 9/11 terrorists, over half of them had total identity takeover. They had totally used another person's name that was not their name. And then, of course, all of them had fake credit cards that were false, that weren't their own, so that they could buy, use rental cars and get apartments. That was a huge deal. And I know from our own legislator, our own senator here, Senator Feinstein, I was at a meeting last year, and we were talking about how these people come in, terrorists are using other people's identities. So this is a national problem. This is not just one person having a problem. We're talking about this is financial, whether it's credit, whether it's bank fraud. Let me ask you something, and your listeners may want to think about this. Do you have a debit card that you use, Donna?
No.
Wonderful.
No, I don't use it.
Well, do you have one, though?
Yes.
Okay. You shouldn't even have one. And what I mean by that is you may store it in a locked drawer, but if you have a debit card that's issued in your name, that debit card can be used online, by phone, by fax, without even the credit card, without even having that debit card in their hand.
Well, now, how do we stop that?
Because
I don't use the debit card. I have done enough research and understood that how vulnerable we are with that. So if the bank, I go into the bank, they say, oh, what's your PIN number? What's your debit card?
Okay, so
let me tell you what you do.
There is a difference between a debit card and an ATM card. A debit card actually has a Visa, MasterCard logo on the front of it. An ATM card does not have any Visa, MasterCard logo on it. It's just, it looks like a check card. And you have to use a PIN with it. So I used that. In fact, I just came back from Mexico. I used it for an ATM machine. I could get money out, and I get a good rate of return. And I can put money in the bank. I can put checks in the bank. But no one can use that online, by phone, by fax, anywhere as a credit card. The only way they'd be able to use it is if they got my PIN number and they went to an ATM machine or they went to the bank. So that is much safer to use, but you cannot use it as a credit card. So it is safer to use a regular credit card because you're covered by the Fair Credit Billing Act, and that means that you're never going to be responsible for fraud. However, if you use a debit card, that's the Electronic Funds Transfer Act. And that you have far less protection. In fact, if you don't tell the bank within 2 days, you can lose up $500 and you can lose all the money if they don't believe you. I had a woman I helped this year who had not received her debit card. She called the bank and said, I didn't receive it. Someone else took it and activated it, and she luckily went online and she saw that someone was trying to take thousands of dollars out of her account. And she called and said, stop this. They said, it's too late. So she said, give me my money back. She told them within 2 days. They originally, at first, gave her money back. A week later, they said, you know, we think that maybe this was a conspiracy. We don't think this is true. So we're going to now charge you with all that money that's gone. And it took her, she was trying to deal with this, and she had called me, and I was trying to help her to do it without even hiring me, and they would not give her back, and it was up to $30,000.
And oh, my heavens. Oh, my goodness.
So finally, I got involved, and then I helped her, and we got her money back. But it is not easy. Once the money is gone, and they originally, you know, and at first they'll give it back to you, I have heard numerous, and I can tell you dozens of times where the bank says, you know, we originally gave you your money back, but now we think that there's a problem and we're not going to. And then all of her checks were bouncing, all of her bills weren't paid. It just turned into a nightmare. So my suggestion to you, and I suggest this in my book, Recovering from Identity Theft, that what you should do is never use a debit card, ever, ever get a regular ATM card. Use a credit card because you are so much more protected. And I don't even like using checks. Now, why do you think I think there's a danger using checks? Do you have any idea?
Well, yes, because often checks can be washed and used. In fact, I learned that there is a particular pen that you can buy to sign your checks with so they cannot wash a signature away.
Well, very good point. Let me kind of clarify what you're talking about. You're talking about that when someone writes out a check, let's say they write out a check to Donna, okay?
Yes.
And somebody can actually change, instead of Donna Sebo, they change it to Mari Frank, and then I can cash it. We wouldn't really want to acid wash the signature. We want to acid wash who we're making it out to, because mm-hmm. we can change it. So, yes, that's the Uniball pen, is a gel ink that you write out at the check with the gel ink, and it cannot be erased. And, in fact, I did some work for them and helped them out. But you know what? Listen to this. I have clients who found out that the routing number and the account number at the bottom of their check was used to create new checks. You can just buy them at Office Depot or Office Max. You know how you have the software to make your own
right.
checks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this. I have a client that I helped that he got hold, all of his money was siphoned out of his checking account. Okay, this was his business checking account. And when he actually got copies of the checks back, they did not have his name on it. Like, it was not his name. It was not his business. The name of the bank wasn't even his bank. The only thing that really connected his account was the account number and the routing number. So when you go to your bank and they take a check and you want to put a check in the bank, if you'll notice, they run it through a scanner, right?
Yes.
They never look at the check. So what happens is anybody can make up any checks, and just as long as the account number and the routing number is correct, that's all that they look at, and the money can be siphoned out of your account. In fact, I was on Montel Williams with a woman, Tammy Carroll, who was an identity thief. She was a methamphetamine addict. I even had her on my radio show because she was so interesting. She was the typical young woman who commits identity theft, young woman, single mom, young kids, needed money, started on meth, ended up staying up all night, and then creating checks. She'd go to these office stores and create checks. She'd steal checks from the mailbox of different people, but she wouldn't use those checks. She wouldn't even acid wash them. All she would do is take the account number and the routing number and then make up checks and write her checks. And she told me that she made over $250,000 just doing that, by writing checks to herself from other people using the account number and the routing number and making up false names.
Mari, this is so scary.
Yep.
Because people think of banks as being a safe place for their money.
Right.
And they're thinking, gee whiz, maybe we just ought to put it out in the backyard, bury it out in the backyard. To heck with the banks.
Well, this is why I want to tell you that online banking is what I do to be safe. I don't like to send personal checks. I have to use checks for my business, but I'm real careful to check all the time at the online banking.
Mm-hmm.
But I even to my gardener, my doctors, I like to do online banking. And when you do online banking, that means this. That means you go to your bank who already has your account number. And let's say you want to pay your electric company or your gas company. You set up within your bank to pay that bill, all right? And you do it once a month. You could do it in the middle of the night, and you could say, okay, I want this to pay October 1st, or I want this to pay October 20th, or I want this to pay November 1st. You set it up, and then the bank itself will either do an electronic transfer, or they'll do what they have their own. They're not really checks, but they're not your check, but they're a check from the bank that pays your vendors. Now, you might ask me, well, is that safe? Well, let me explain to you. If you use your home computer and you have anti-spyware and antivirus that you use all the time, and you have a router and you have all the protections to secure your own computer, and then you set up online banking to make sure that you don't have any, you know, keylogging software on there at all. If you have that and then you use a password that's 12 numbers, letters, and characters,
mm-hmm.
you are going to be more protected than writing a check, putting it in the mail. We have a lot of mail theft, and people can steal money out of steal your envelopes out of your mailbox. I hope no one just puts the little flag up and puts your checks in there, because that can easily be stolen. Things can be stolen at the post office itself. So it is actually safer to do online banking, and then you can go and look at that online banking any time of the day or night that you wish, and you can see when that bill is paid, and you can make sure that it's paid on time. I know when I used to write checks years ago, the credit card company would say, well, this was late. And I knew that I sent it 6 days ahead of time, and I knew that we're full of baloney. But when you do this by electronic transfer from your bank, they can't tell you it's late, because the bank will tell you exactly when it was transferred. So that's another protection for you as well, as they can't charge you a late fee. So it's safer to do online banking from your own bank. And what I don't mean is, don't give every vendor you have your checking account number. Your own bank already knows your checking account number. You're going to give your bank the vendor's address or mm-hmm. electronic transfer, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense.
I understand. But there again, my account was compromised because someone was using a bill pay system. Somehow or another, they integrated into it, and they said this is due to so and so and so and so, which was fraud because I didn't have bill pay.
Okay, so was that something that? Okay, you didn't set up bill pay, so they knew that it wasn't you.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's how they caught it because you didn't have a bill pay. But even if you did have a bill pay, when you go in and you set it up yourself, if someone adds a new bill pay,
mm-hmm.
for example, every time I add a new vendor, they always send me an alert back to me. Did you set up this vendor?
Mm-hmm.
So there are some checks on that. And you know, but nothing's perfect, Donna. I mean, you're making very good comments about this because nothing's perfect. We have people within the bank that can do this to you, which there has been many prosecutions of persons inside the bank, unfortunately. Most people are honest, but you've got some people who are less than honest.
Yes.
But, I mean, nothing's perfect, but at least if you're doing your online banking and you're checking your online banking at least 2 to 3 times a week, some people check it every day,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to catch it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to notify them right away. So that's really important.
Mari, would you be able to stay with me for another 15 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a break in a little while. And so I want you all to know, because I want to discuss, Mari, about our rights and also working with law enforcement. Because this is something, you know, you relate to what you went through in 1996. And that there was nothing in place. And now, today, there are in different agencies because this has become such a nightmare, that people are filing charges. They're having to do it. But now they have got sections in the police department that are dealing with electronic fraud. I mean, this is an endemic, a pandemic, if you will, that is just absolutely phenomenal. And with the sophistication of technology that's becoming more and more and more refined, that person that understands that technology from anywhere in the world can rape someone's finances, credit, their life identity. I mean, this is really something that's very agitating, very aggravating, and very upsetting. So I'd really like to talk about that. We're going to take a break for just a minute.
Okay.
And when we come back, Mari, thank you for staying with me. We will be discussing in depth what your rights are, what you can do to protect yourself. We've mentioned a little bit of that. But we're going to find out about some of these laws and maybe some new ones that have evolved. So stay with me, Mari Frank. We're talking about identity theft and how you can protect yourself from it and maybe inform someone that is having the experience so that they know what they can do to help themselves. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Thank you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Mari Frank is my guest today, and we're talking about identity theft. Now, we've told you some horror stories, and if you aren't quaking in your mental shoes, I mean just going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And you're just, your heart's pounding, and you wonder what your rights are. That's what we're going to find out now. Mari, what are the rights of the consumer? What steps should they take with law enforcement, and how can they develop a relationship with their lending institution or institutions so that they can really be alert? And I know we can check online, but sometimes you're not in a situation where you're able to do that. Tell us what we do.
Okay, so you asked me a lot of questions. Let's start out with the first one, which is what can you do if it happens to you? What are some of your rights? Well, one good thing is nationally we have the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And so you may say, oh, well, what the heck is that? How is that going to help me? Well, we have instituted in the past few years actual steps that are included in that federal law that help victims to get their lives back, okay? So let's say you get a call from a company you never heard of, asking why you hadn't paid your $10,000 bill like what happened to me. Or let's say you get a call from an attorney and say that there's collections and they're going to take you to trial. Or let's say that you find out that all the money was siphoned out of your bank account. Let's say it's financial identity theft, because mm-hmm. there's different laws that help you depending on what type of identity theft you're experiencing, okay? So if you do have some kind of financial identity theft, the first thing you do is you call the credit bureaus, believe it or not, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, and you call the numbers, and I can give those numbers out, but if you want, but or you can go to Equifax.com, Experian.com, and TransUnion.com, and you can call and put a fraud alert first thing on your credit report. And that fraud alert says, don't issue credit without calling me first at this number. And I suggest that you give your cell phone number, because if you're not home and someone calls you, you can't say yes or no that that was mine or it wasn't mine. So give your cell phone so that they can reach you. That's the first thing you do. When you do that fraud alert, you're going to have to give your social security number. So people get scared about that, but you're not speaking to a human being. You're speaking to a voice prompt. You have to give your social security number and your address. And then they'll send you a letter saying you have a fraud alert that you're having now. You have it on your credit report for 90 days. And you are entitled to a free credit report if you have put a fraud alert on your credit report. Now, you're also entitled to a free credit report once a year from each of the credit bureaus, and you can go to annualcreditreport.com. And you can get that for free whether you're a victim or not. So you don't want to use up your free one if you're a victim. You want to get the one that's the one you put the fraud alert on. After that, let's say you find out that some company in Georgia has issued a mortgage and you live in Alaska. So you go, oh my gosh, what do? You go to your local law enforcement agency in Alaska or wherever you live, and you tell them, I'm the victim of identity theft. I just found out that there's some credit cards in my name and they're not me. You make a police report where you live, and then you tell them, look, I know you probably can't investigate this if it's, you know, if it happened in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
you don't have jurisdiction, but right. I must have at least an informational report, because that police report is the condition kind of precedent that you have to be able to prove that you are a victim. You also need to complete an affidavit that you can get on the Federal Trade Commission website at ftc.gov, and you complete that and you tell what happened. Meanwhile, when you get that, when you get your report, your credit report back from the credit bureaus after you put on your fraud alert, then you're going to see what the fraud is. So you're going to see whether you have a Chase card, whether you have a mortgage, a student loan, whatever. You're going to see that on your credit report, and you will need to notify each of those credit card companies and tell them to immediately close the account and get their number, and you are entitled. Now, most people don't know this, and many of the banks want to fight this, but if you send your police report with your affidavit to any creditor that issued an account in your name or a mortgage or anything like that, you send that, you are entitled to all the documentation of that fraud, everything, even if they have notes in the file or if they have applications, you're entitled to all of that without a subpoena. And you can have that sent not only to you but to the law enforcement agency that you reported it to. So the people don't know that they have that right to do that. So that's once you inform the credit bureaus that, you know, which accounts are fraudulent or which loans are fraudulent, you put it in writing, they have a duty within 4 days to take it off your credit report. Most people don't know that. And once that they suppress it or take it off like that, they can only reinsert it on your credit report if that particular creditor proves that you're a liar, okay, that it wasn't fraud. So that's why you must inform in writing the creditors as well as the credit reporting agencies and say this is fraud. Now, sometimes the creditors will say, well, you know what, it is fraud. It isn't fraud. This person's a liar. Well, you may have a cause of action against them. But there are times that it happens. That's what I hear from people.
Right.
We also have at my website at identitytheft.org, besides getting the complete idiot guide to recovering from identity theft, I also have a CD with legal letters that people can purchase and fill in the blank. And that was one of my other books, From Victim to Victor. And they've got letters right in there that all they put is their legal letters. You just put them in your CD, and you put the CD into your computer, and you fill in the blank, and you can send those letters, and they're legal, and they will help you to prepare because you have a lot of letters to write. So you have that right. You also have a right to get a police report. Now, there are places that still will, the police will say, well, gee, you know what, it's not here. I can't do anything about it. You know, if it's in New York and you're in Alaska, forget it. I can't do anything. That you have a right to a police report. So if they tell you we can't give you a police report because we can't investigate it, you ask them for an identity theft report. No matter what, you ask them for that. If they give you a problem, you write to me. You go to my website, identitytheft.org, and I will literally call that law enforcement agency and talk to them myself. So that shouldn't happen. Now, if you're a victim of criminal identity theft, let's say, and this happens a lot more than I hate to say how often it happens, but let's say, Donna, and this actually happened to someone in Virginia that called me. Let's say that someone used the name Donna Sebo, and she was arrested for prostitution. And then all of a sudden, someone like you with a good reputation, you've got a radio show, you're a professional woman, this shows up on a background check that you were arrested and you were convicted of prostitution. How would you feel? Pretty scared.
I'll give you 30 seconds to figure that one out.
So you are entitled to go and get all documents of that conviction and go back to, you're going to have to probably get help with it, but you can get a certificate of innocence And so that when your background check comes up, you can show that this was not you. And then you can actually, if you're going for a job or anybody is going to get a background check from you, you can send that to them ahead of time and say, I was a victim of identity theft and this person used my identity. You can also get some help to actually change the court records to say that this was an alias or this was a fraudulent name that was used. And if they can never find the person again, they're going to just have to segregate that file. Now, what about medical identity theft? What if somebody goes in, like happened here in Orange County, California, and gets breast implants using your social security number and your name?
Mm-hmm.
That actually happened here. The way that they were actually able to find her in this particular case was that she had had previous implants, and I guess they started to leak. And so when she got the new ones and then didn't pay her care credit, they found her because they had the ID number on the breast that they had taken out. But
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, you know, that has happened with, there's a woman, I believe, that's still in litigation over this. Her child's social security number was taken and had been used for a number of years, and I think her child was under 7 or 8 years of age, and had to have some medical treatment, and they said, you can't do this now because you've already been doing such and so. You know, she was someone that was unemployed, and lo and behold, somebody had been using her child's social security number and been getting medical treatment that her child would not be entitled to because of that.
Yes.
And that is
appalling.
And sometimes
that creates a pre-existing condition. Yes.
Yes.
In fact, I have a whole chapter on child identity theft in my book, Recovering from Identity Theft. I also have a whole chapter on medical identity theft and government benefit. And when you just mentioned this, Donna, I had a guy who called me from San Diego, California, who was injured very, very badly on the job. And he couldn't get workers' comp because someone else in another county in California had used his identity and already was getting workers' comp. So he also couldn't get it, and he was very badly injured. There's government identity, government benefit identity theft. And we had, here at the University of California, we had about 50 graduate students who couldn't file their tax return because somebody had gotten their social security number from a database and had gotten all of their tax refunds, and they
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, Mari, we probably could talk for hours and hours and hours, but we are out of time. Give out your website again. Is it identitytheft.org?
Yes, it's identitytheft.org, and there they can see my book on how to protect themselves called Safeguard Your Identity. They can get From Victim to Victor with the legal letters, and they can even go and get my new book, The Complete Idiot Guide to Recovering from Identity Theft. They can get that in all the bookstores as well and online.
Well, Mari, this has just been wonderful. Thank you so much. I commend you on being so up and out there with this information because it is important. And for those of you listening, if you sort of like me going, oh, my goodness, would there ever be a time where we are not going to have to be apprehensive about working with banks, doing this electronic stuff? Yes, there will be a time. Somehow or another, we're going to figure it out. But the crooks are always there one way or the other. The key is to protect yourself. Recovering from Identity Theft, it's under the Complete Idiot's Guide. I know you're not an idiot, those of you who are listening.
Right.
But it's making it simple, because it can be extremely complex. Mari J. Frank has been my guest. Go to identitytheft.org to find out more of her other materials. Mari, again, thank you for being my guest today.
Well, thank you, Donna, and I love your beautiful state. So much enjoyed visiting. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and I am broadcasting from magnificent Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm here to tell you snow is beginning to fall here, not very much, just little white dusty flakes that are coming through the air. And I'm looking out on the mountain range of the Sleeping Lady, and she is just absolutely dazzling with her wonderful, wonderful snow-covered presence. And it is absolutely gorgeous up here, and it makes you realize that we're getting pretty close to winter. Of course, up here in the far north, it starts in a little bit earlier rather than in the Pacific Northwest. But I'll tell you, it is just absolutely gorgeous. Now, I do need to let you know, on Monday, we are going to be flying in. So we are going to have a Best of Donna on this coming Monday. But also, I wanted to let you know that next week, our show, we're going to have the Encyclopedia of the Unseen World. This is all about paranormal stuff, and I think you will enjoy it quite a bit. My guest is going to be Constant Briggs, and then I'm going to be flying to New York on Wednesday, so we're going to have another Donna, Best of Donna show. Now, I haven't quite figured out how to do a show from an airplane yet, 30,000 feet up in the air. One day, we'll get that down to a pat situation, too. Then we're going to be talking live from New York. I'm going to be talking about healing self, healing earth. Ray Holman will be my guest. And then on Friday, we'll be talking about what is a parent to do, Dr. Abraham. Now, this is about drug addiction. This is something that alcoholism and drug addiction with our youth is so tremendously widespread. And this is a physician that has worked with this for over 30 years, and he is very knowledgeable, and I think the wisdom that he has to share with parents that have kids that are coming up into that time frame, or maybe with peer pressure or circumstances, they might be tempted to indulge and perhaps end up becoming addicted. Well, I think this is the first book I've read in a long time that has a very ground, down-to-earth basis of understanding that I think can really help a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle. It educates you in a way that I do not believe you otherwise might even recognize could be of value to you. So it's absolutely wonderful. You know, one of the things I really enjoy about this show is being able to bring to you people who sincerely care about making this world a better place. Being an informed consumer makes a difference. Whether it is regarding medical issues, whether it's regarding financial issues, gardening, I don't care what it is. When you can have some basis of information, then you know you have choices that you can make. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I was not aware of the choices that were available to me. I didn't even know how to ask halfway decent questions. Why? Because It wasn't a part of my world, and we all go through that kind of an experience. So you need to be alert to the fact that when you are aware, then you can be vigilant. And it's an ongoing process. We live in a world today that with technology is so fast-paced, where maybe before it would take weeks or months for something to evolve, now it's almost, well, in split-second timing. So it's a different environment for ourselves, and we need to be alert and knowledgeable and understand to the best of our capacity that we do have options we can work with, and if necessary, we will know how to ask the right questions when certain situations come up. Donna Sebo here. By the way, the telephone lines are now open. If you want to give me a buzz at 888-815-9756, well, this is a good time to call me. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And all you need to do is give me your first name or initial. And, of course, I'd like to know wherever it is that you're calling from. So, again, 888-815-9756. And don't forget, those of you who are listening, if you have a story about the paranormal that you would like to share with me, something that's affected your life deeply, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And be sure to put your contact information in so we'll be able to be in touch. And the deadline for submitting stories is January 1, 2011. Also, for those of you who are listening from Alaska, I'm here in Anchorage. I'll be here through Monday. And if you'd like to be in touch with me for a private session, just call my office at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. And then for those of you in New York, I'll be in New York. I've got a couple of days that are going to be available. And if you wanted to be in touch with me, call me at, again, 800-872-8852. I'll be doing an appearance at the National Publicity Summit in New York City on the 24th. So in the morning, I will be appearing there. Well, I do want to share something with you that just got my taste buds going. I'm telling you, I am a big salad lover. And just about, it doesn't take much to make a salad for myself, but I just love it when people come up with what I call tasty enhancements to your lettuce arrangement, whatever it might be. And I really liked this one, and I thought, I'm going to share it with you because it is something that, gee, it would just be so delicious. And if you're trying to watch your weight and you're saying, well, I like salads, but I get so bored with the same thing every day, how about a baby salad green with pears and glazed walnuts? How does that tickle your taste buds? Well, let me give you the recipe because it's so very, very easy, and it's absolutely delicious. Now, I don't know if you've ever had candied walnuts, but you can make them at home, and you can make them very easily within just a few minutes. So what you're going to need is a half a cup of walnut pieces, a half a cup of walnut pieces, a tablespoon of maple syrup. A tablespoon of maple syrup. Now, you can use corn syrup, but maple syrup is better for you, okay? A quarter of a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, quarter of a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, a quarter of a teaspoon of paprika, quarter of a teaspoon of paprika, and I don't know that I'd use the smoky paprika. I think I just use the regular paprika. You're going to need a third of a cup of olive oil and vinegar salad dressing. Make up your own. That's easy enough. A third of a cup of that mixture. Half a teaspoon of grated orange zest. A half a teaspoon of grated orange zest. You're going to need about 10 cups of mixed baby salad greens, which is like 8 ounces. It's next to nothing. A third of a cup of sweetened dried cranberries. Oh, they're so good. A third of a cup of sweetened dried cranberries. You're going to need a third of a cup of thinly sliced red onion. If you're not an onion person, don't put it in. Two pears, you want to core them and cut them into 1/4 inch thick wedges. And then you're going to need 2 ounces of goat cheese crumbled, and that's about a half a cup. Now, this is how simple it is. You take walnuts, and put them in a small, you know, half a cup of walnuts, put it in a small bowl, and you take your maple syrup, your cinnamon, and your paprika. You want to whisk that together, pour it over your walnuts, and make sure you stir the walnuts until they're well coated. And then you put them in a small nonstick skillet, and you make sure you use some, you know, nonstick cooking spray, and cook your walnuts, and you want to stir them until they're browned and they're crunchy. It's going to take you about 45 minutes. And then you want to just remove them from the skillet and let them cool. And then in another small bowl, you're going to whisk together your oil and vinegar dressing and the zest. And then, of course, from here on out, it's simple. Your greens, your cranberries, if you like onions, put them in. All of this goes into the bowl, and you use top the with the dressing, okay? You just mix the dressing right in there with your greens. Then when you're ready to serve it, you want to top it with your sliced pears, your goat cheese, and walnuts. Yes. Do that at the last minute. Now, you can do it all in one big bowl and toss it all together, or you can leave it as you serve it with the pears and the walnuts and the cranberries. And, oh, it is so good. It is so delicious. And it is light and easy on the calories. So I just think it can taste good. And even though we're in the cooler months, it's still good to do this. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time here. I'm broadcasting from Alaska. We'll be talking back in studio in the Pacific Northwest on Tuesday. Meanwhile, have a great, great time. Bye for now. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Be well. Have fun. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.